Welcome to the fifth sermon in our sermon series entitled, The One Another's. God never intended us to do life alone. Our relationship with God requires being part of community with one another. Today's sermon title, Welcome One Another. Open your Bible to Romans 15, verses 1 through 7, and let's begin.
Well, good morning, Christ Church. My name is Joe Vaughn. I'm the student pastor here at Christ Church. Our lead pastor, Doc, is on vacation. He had called me up. He says, Joe Vaughn, can you fill in for me, please? I said, Doc, is that you? He said, yeah. Can you please fill in? I'm like, of course, Doc, I will fill in for you. So I'm excited to be here with you guys. Such an honor to be on this stage. I know what shoes that I'm filling in right now, but it's such an honor to be here with you guys once again. Hey, guys, so we are continuing our sermon series we have been in for the last several weeks called One Another. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about relationships. You don't sound excited. Relationships. We all have to encounter relationships at some point of our lives, pretty much all of our lives. And what we want to do is we want to try to get better at that. We want to try to get closer to what God says is healthy, because here's the thing. To God, it's important. To God, he holds it as a high priority to him, but also should mean it to us as well. So we want to go a little bit closer week by week. Next week, we're actually ending the series, but today I get to continue it. Today, what I'm asking you is, because I believe this one is one that can challenge us, right? Because I hope that's the reason why you came to church, to be challenged, right? Because I don't want you guys to walk out the same. I want you to walk out different. And I pray that you would just lean in and receive what I believe God wants to deliver and to communicate and to deposit to each and every one of our hearts. But it takes for your openness. Will you guys bow your heads before I pray? Dear God, your name is powerful. Your name is sovereign. You are the Almighty One. And all my hope is in you. My peace and my joy. Everything that I need is found in you. And I'm thankful for this word today. I'm thankful for your people, your sons and your daughters that are sitting in these seats today. I know that this message is for someone. It may not be for everyone, but I know for sure it's for someone today. And I pray that someone, that person that you have your eye on today, will come to you. They will draw close to you and they will call upon you as the wonderful name that you are. I'm thankful for this word, Lord. Let this word be anointing. Let it be glorifying to you, Lord. Anoint your son. Let this word, again, just speak to our hearts in such a profound way. In Jesus' name is who I pray. Amen. So about maybe about a year ago, maybe I would say a little bit more than a year ago, around the summertime, I'll never forget, so every single Sunday we have our teen youth group. So a group of teens and a group of adults, we all come together every Sunday evening, 6:30, that's a shameful plug, and we all come together and we come together and we fellowship and we have community and we hang out. And I'll never forget, it was this student's first time coming to youth group. And I've never seen him before. I can't tell you his name. I can't tell you where he was from. I can't tell you his family, his past, his history, nothing. But I'll never forget, this student came right in and he came right to me. And as he came right to me, he said, hey, I need to talk to you. Can I pull you to the side? I said, of course. Yeah, you know, and then we exchanged names and whatnot. And then he proceeds to tell me his story. And the story that he tells me is graphic. It's heavy. It's deep. He goes on and he talks to me about certain things that he's done in his life and the things that he's currently doing right now, or at the moment, at that time. He goes on to tell me about how he's been in trouble with the law. Remember, this is a teenager. He goes on and tells me his trouble that he's had with the law, the trouble that he's had with school, the trouble that he's had with people and in his family. He's seen relationships break apart left and right. But also, he took it to another level. He actually told me about the last 14 months, he saw four people take their lives. Family and friends. Four people. And as he's telling me this stuff, I'm like taken back and I'm trying to grasp and understand. But it's not about what he told me, but it's about what he asked me after. After him telling me all these things, he looks at me and he says, hey, now that you know everything about me, am I allowed to be here? I was taken back. I said, are you serious? I thought he was joking. No, he looked at me with sincerity and he says, hey, now that you know everything that I've done, am I allowed to be in this church? Which made me think of a moment, made me think of a time not too long ago. I invited a coworker to work, my other job that I work at. I invited a coworker to church. I wanted him to hear about Doc, and I wanted him to see the great band, and I wanted him to see this beautiful church. You know what he told me? He says, no, your church doesn't want me in there. Your church doesn't want me in there. If they heard about everything that I've done, if they heard about everything that I'm doing right now, they would lock their doors. And it made me think to myself, like, these gentlemen, different stories, different backgrounds. But there's one thing that they're hungry for. Belonging. There's one thing that they're hungry for is belonging. There's one thing that they're starving and they're longing for is having a place to belong. See, they believe that because of their failures and because of what they've done and because of the things that they're doing actively at that moment, that there was a wall that was built up. And this wall is way too tall and it's way too wide to get to church, but also to get to God. And I'm trying to figure out and trying to ask myself, like, man, where do people get this perception from? Where do people get this report? But it actually led me to think about this. So often people hear more about what the church stands against more than what it stands for. That's a sad thing, church. People always like to look at what the church stands against and what we call sinful and what we call not a healthy thing. And when we say you shouldn't do and what they shouldn't do and who they shouldn't like and who they shouldn't vote for. People hear about all those things, but very rarely do they hear about what the church actually stands for and also stands with. But that's got to be the communication. That's got to be what people hear from these walls and hears from these churches, what we're actually standing for and who we actually are going to stand with. See, but here's the thing. We are a culture, and we've adopted this culture. We've taken it in here at our church. We've adopted this culture where we like to point at behavior. We like to point at everything someone is not doing right. We like to point out everything that, every hiccup that they have. And I've noticed this, that when you get so busy at pointing at behavior, you become blind to potential. When you get so heavy and so concentrated on what somebody is doing rather than who they can become, you become blind to potential. And if anything, the church should be that safe place. The church should be a place where people say, I want to go because I know there are people there that will take me in. I know there are people there, despite what I'm doing at the moment, actively right now. They don't care. They just want me in. They just want me in. But little do people see that. Little do people actually take that in, which is why our culture is chasing perfection. Because they think that perfection, trying to get things right, trying to live this type of lifestyle, trying to marry this person, live here, live there, make this money, whatever it may be. They think that perfection precedes acceptance. That's the main thing. And people want to be accepted. I mean, we all do in this room. Some of you have it. Some of you have yet to receive it. Some of you are looking for it. We all want to be accepted. And when you aren't accepted, you become desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. And desperate people go out into the world and they try to figure out where their value is. They try to figure out who's going to accept them, who's going to take them in. Desperate people have a longing to connect, have a longing for relationship. Desperate people need hope. We have it, but little do we show it. We have it right here, right now. We have the access. We have the keys. But little do we share the keys. But I've noticed that sometimes when people don't have a place that they don't feel valued, it's when they start to trickulate within their minds. And the reason why people are lost today, which is like a lot of my students. A lot of my students that I run into on a weekly basis, they are rejected by family. Literally rejected by their own family. They have been rejected by their peers. And it starts to build a certain system from within here. And they start to think that what happened to them devalues them. They start to think that what happens to them, it devalues them. And I've noticed that sometimes a lot of these students and even a lot of us sitting in this room today, adults included, we allow our pain to dictate our existence. And we feel like we're never enough. You ever been there before? You ever got to that point where you just felt like you're never enough? And if anything, the church needs to get on board. The church, we as a people, because again, I'm not saying the church as a walls or as a building. I'm saying you. We need to be committed to saying we welcome anyone and everyone. from all different walks, from all different ethnicities, from all different backgrounds, no matter who you voted for, no matter what you stand for, doesn't matter. All is in. All is in. And it doesn't matter what we believe as important or as priority. Only thing that we take priority is people. Not their views, not their lifestyles, but people. People become a priority. When people feel important, it's a good thing. Because we got to remember, the church is not a gallery where we exhibit the finest Christians. It's not a place where we display all the finest of the Christians in here. No, it's a place where we say, listen, I'm broken just like you, sweetheart. And I need God just like you. So come all who are broken. Come all who are heavy. Come all who are desperate. Because here's the thing, the same God that can work through me is the same God that can work through you. That's what we have the opportunity to do. But we got to get in the habit of accepting people. And not just people that look like us, different people. Not people that think like us, different people. That's got to be the norm of our church. That's got to be the norm of us today. Because here's the thing, I've noticed this. People will be more open to God when you are more open to them. Catch that? People will be more open to God when you are more open to them. And the one thing that they need to hear the most is love. The one thing they need to hear the most is love. And here at Christ Church, the loudest voice is going to be love. Love is going to be the loudest voice that they're going to hear. Not my beliefs, not my views, but love. Because it's the highest command. And to God, that's the thing that we need to hold most important. Truth is, acceptance is a big deal. It's a big deal to God. And he commands it from all of us. See, us people, the church, we truly have to live this potential by keeping our doors open, but also keeping our hearts open as well for all walks of life. And it's funny because the issue that still lies today is the issue that we're going to read in just a little bit that was happening almost 2,000 years ago. Almost 2,000 years ago, the same tension that existed then is the same tension that exists right now today. People need that bridge, and church, we are that bridge. We are that bridge of hope. We are that bridge of joy because we have a Savior who knows our needs, who becomes our needs, because he is what we need. So this passage that we're reading today is coming out of Romans chapter 15. And this passage, I kind of want to give a little bit of context before I dive right into it. There's tension going on at this church, right? There's a heavy dispute that's going on. And there's one side of believers, and then there's another side of believers. They're believing in one God, one man, Jesus Christ, but they're separate on issues. Right? There's one group that they believe that, hey, if you want to follow Jesus, you should eat meat. You're okay to eat meat. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just eat meat. But then there's another group over here that's saying, hey, real followers of Jesus, they only eat vegetables. I know what side I'm on, church. I'm over here. Bring on the ribeye. I don't know about y'all over there, gluten-free. Look, bring on the protein. Amen. And they're allowing this dispute to get in the way of their unity. They're allowing this silly thing and what's going on to get in the way. Kind of like us today. Little small disputes can set a huge separation. It reminds me of a time where, I don't know if you guys have been caught up, there's been this thing going on, this conversation that a lot of people have been having. It's called, who is the GOAT? Guys ever heard of it? Who is the GOAT? Now, this applies in many different areas, in many different aspects. You can apply it to entertainment, to movies, to artists. But the main conversation comes from sports. And it really developed from this conversation between these two guys, Michael Jordan and LeBron James. One day, my buddy and I, we were going back and forth. One day, we were saying, hey, man, who do you think is the greatest of all time? That's what the GOAT stands for. And we said, I was on, of course, the side of Michael Jordan. Don't care what you got to say. Michael Jordan. He's from Akron, y'all. Michael Jordan. I was saying, hey, man, Michael's done this. Michael's done that. How could you refuse against that? Like, he's the best. And he's saying, no, LeBron is. LeBron did this. And so we're going back and forth. But next thing you know, our conversation becomes so heated, we weren't even arguing about the topic anymore. We started talking about each other's wives, each other's habits, each other's clothes, house, salary, all that stuff. But what's interesting is that such a small argument created such a huge division. Such a small argument, that is nothing. There are much bigger issues in this world today than discuss who's the greatest of all time. There are people that need the cross more than they need a conversation about these two young men. But it created such a huge division. So Paul, this guy named Paul, some of you guys may know who he is. He's one of the early church leaders, one of the guys who we uphold, and he's been doing great things at this moment. And he wants to write to them. He wants them to understand that they need to take care of this topic. They need to rest this right now. As a matter of fact, he gets to a point in Romans 15, 7, where he gives us a solution when it comes to division, when it comes to accepting people. Look what he says. Verse 7. Chapter 15, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We're going to talk about that therefore in just a little bit. Whenever you see therefore, there was something building up to that moment. So we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But he wants us to understand we need to be a church, or that church needs to be the community where they get in the habit of welcoming people, especially people who have radically different views. We can't afford to be people who get in the habit of just excluding people because they don't match up with us, because they don't look like us. We can't get in the habit of doing that, because if I do that, I don't have a student ministry. If I do that, we don't have a church. We can't do that. And he wants them to understand. So sometimes I believe that we get so caught up in our views, we get so caught up in our opinions. Sometimes, and maybe I'm speaking for myself, sometimes I allow my conscience to try to make something sinful or unacceptable that really isn't. That really isn't. I remember growing up, and maybe you guys have been in this talk or conversation before. I remember, like, our family, we used to believe you couldn't have a Christmas tree. Maybe you've heard about that. Maybe you still believe in that, whatever it may be. But then eventually we found out, like, not that big of a deal. It's Christmas. It's all about Christ still, right? It's just a tree. Sometimes a lot of us do that in our lives today, on many other topics and many other ways as well. Here's the thing. We should never be people that magnify others' differences, but rather highlight their hearts. We shouldn't focus on someone conforming to us. We shouldn't focus on someone conforming to me, because I am no good. I am no help. Change doesn't happen through me. Change happens through Christ. If they focus on him, if they put their hope in him, but it's about me being open to them. It's about me letting them in. And that's what people need in this world today. Not more of Jovan, but more of Christ. Because it's better when Christ convicts people, not Jovan. It's better when Jesus himself convicts people, not me. People don't have to gain my interest just so I can accept them. People don't have to conform to what I believe. Because that's nonsense. As a matter of fact, what's interesting, and we're going to read in just a little bit, acceptance isn't based on performance. To the world, it may be, because it goes off the merit system. Acceptance isn't based on performance or behavior. Rather, acceptance changes behavior. See that? Because here's the thing, as a church and as people, and when I think about God, even in my own life, God didn't accept me when I got to this point. God accepted me in my burden, in my brokenness, in my sin, when I was full of lust, full of temptation, ignorant. God said, I still want you. Now come in. That's how we were to receive the same people, because here's the thing, God loves people way too much to keep them where they're at. You see that? God loves people way too much to keep them where they're at. Accepting people is what we need to get in the habit of. When Christ accepts someone, that's real change. That's when the change really happens. Not about what I can do, but what Christ can do through them. Change becomes organic. Change becomes real in their lives. Paul wanted them to understand that, man, you gotta accept people where they're at. What's going on? You got to accept him right then and there. But then he develops this point first before he gets here. And actually, he develops it in Romans chapter 15, earlier in the verses. He wants us to understand not just to accept people, but how we are to accept people. Look at verse 1, Romans chapter 15. He says this, we who are strong, he's talking about the strong in faith, those who are mature in their faith, we who are strong have the obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Failings of the weak. We have to be people that are understanding. Because here's the thing, some people are just misunderstood. There's a lot of people in this room, there's a lot of people outside these doors, there's a lot of people that's going to come in the future that are just misunderstood. There's a lot of people out there that are just straight up lonely. Lonely. Confused. We got to be able to make room for that. Because here's the thing we have to understand, we have to accept broken people. Because there are people that are out there, there are people that are in here that are struggling with some heavy stuff. Struggling with addiction. Addiction on many levels. Addiction that comes from the heart. There are people struggling in their marriages, struggling to keep their families together. Struggling to keep their finances to where they need to get to. And we need to be understanding that when we talk about bearing one another, that means carrying one another, not fixing one another. Because you weren't called to fix people. You and I were called to carry people to where they need to get to. Because that's God's job to fix. That's God's job to work. Our job is to literally carry them, as the Bible tells us, to literally hold them, to tell them, listen, no matter what you're in, no matter what you're going through, I'm right here. I'm going to cry with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to pray with you. It doesn't matter. I'm still here right now. There is nothing that you can do that will ever keep me from serving you. That's the people that we got to be in this world today. This means, but we got to bear the broken because there are broken people all around us. It's up to us to bear that, which means we got to be patient. We got to be patient. And sometimes I lack patience, especially in traffic. Listen, catch me in traffic, you would never think I was a preacher. Be like, oh, you work where? But it's funny is the same reaction that I have in traffic is sometimes the same reaction I have towards others. How fair is that? And we have to understand, we got to pray and ask God to give us patience with people because people need confidence. We live in a world that people lack confidence today. Confidence exposes them to so much. Not confidence in us, but confidence in the work of in the hands of God. Confidence that God will exceed all of their worry. That God will do what he needs to do in their lives. People need confidence. And that's what we want to install and to instill into one another. Bearing each other. But then Paul goes into a point where he talks about how to do this. But also he talks about what not to do when it comes to accepting people. And he ends it in verse 1. He says this, bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Often at times we respond and react from what's familiar to us. The issue in the Roman church was that their differences motivated them to judge. It motivated them to judge. And I've noticed that my indifference on topics or in issues, it shouldn't influence my attitude. If it does, I'm going to have the wrong reaction, like judging. And I have to realize judging is an issue of the heart. Some of us have some judgmental issues in our hearts today. Some of us have things that we need to offer and to give to God like a sacrifice. Some of us have some spots and some holes in our hearts that we keep holding on to. Let me tell you right now, effective people cannot be judging people. Effective people cannot be judging people. An effective church can't be a church that judges, that points. But I've noticed once again, this is the heart of the issue in the church at this time. Paul said it's not about so much what's going on with the church, but it's about what's going on in your heart. Not so much what's going on in the issues in the church, right? The issues flow from the heart. It's a heart issue. And I've noticed sometimes I like to sit in the judge's seat. I like to tell God to get out of the way. I got this. And it never works. It never works. That's the tone of this church, and that's the tone of our reality in our world today. Judging people, a judging heart is a heart that's not fully set on pleasing God, but ourselves. A judging heart is someone saying that, hey, you got to fit into my self-righteous bubble, and you got to do what I feel is right. You got to do what I say is right. Really, a judging heart is a heart full of hate. It's prejudice. It's in the word, prejudge, prejudice. I looked that up. I feel smart. But it's in the word. A lot of us have some hate in our heart. Hate towards others. Some hate towards some things. And we need to give that to God today. You need to offer that up. You need to ask God to, as Psalms 139 actually says, God, examine my heart. Show me what is in me. Release what is in me. There's some judging that's going on, and we got to eliminate it today. Because it's so funny is that why would people want to join the church if the church is always at odds? Why would people want to be a part of this community? People want belonging. People are desperate for that. And why would they ever come to a community that points the finger all the time? So we got to ask God to make some room in our hearts today. And if you have that, I'm going to pray at the end, and I'm going to pray that God would remove that hate that's within. Because effective people can't be judging people. He says that we shouldn't please ourselves. He goes into verse number 2. He then says, let each of us then please his or her neighbor for his good, for her good, to build them up, for Christ did not please himself. Humility is the greatest treasure you and I can ever possess. Humility is the greatest treasure you and I can ever possess in this world today. And the way that Paul answers this, and it's so interesting, we shouldn't look to please ourselves because Christ never looked to please himself. Christ did whatever he had to do to bring glory to the Father. Jesus said himself in his prayer, he says, I come here for the will of the Father. So everything that I do is aligning with everything that he wants me to do. Because sometimes when I get so opinionated, I'm looking to please and glorify Jovan. But when I humble myself under the mighty hands, I look to please my Father. But it takes for us to be an example. Some people just need an example in this world today. And the best example is a Christ example. A humble example. An example with what the Bible says that he put himself into a servant position and he served others. That's the best example. Because your example towards others becomes a pathway to God to get to their heart. Through your example, through my example, which reminds me of a lot of parents that I deal with on a weekly basis. A lot of my parents that I encounter, they call me and they tell me and they talk to me, and I'm so honored to be able to work with them at that moment, but they're so overwhelmed with their child and what their child is doing and what their child's not doing and the trouble that they're getting in and the things that are going on and the decisions that they're making. And they're asking me at this moment, they're like, Jovan, what do I do? Jovan, what do I say? Jovan, what is the next best thing for me to do at this moment because I'm lost? And one thing I got to tell parents is right now, they don't need your opinion. They need a mother. Right now, they don't need your opinion. They need a father. Right now, they don't need your opinion. They need Christ at this moment to be an example because we can't be that today. Because I'll never forget, it took for my own mother's example to help me get to where I am today. Because my mother never gave up to me. I was a problem child. I found out there was a teacher here yesterday that taught me back in third grade. She was like, oh my gosh, you're a preacher. I thought by now you would be. But it took for my own mother to believe in me. Even when she got those phone calls she didn't want to get. Even when she got the news she didn't want to get. And parents, I want you to know right now, your kids, be patient with them. Be an example to them. They need you. Parents, they need you. Grandparents, they need you. Because let me tell you something right now, you're planting a seed. Because God grows the seed, though. And that's what we're called to do. Be an example. Paul goes on and he talks about, again, how we are to do it, what works and what doesn't work. But then he says why we are to do it. He says we do it for the glory of God. He says we do it so for the harmony for one another, so we can be in one accord, we can be in one voice for Christ in this world today. We have to decide that we have to serve God's purpose over my opinion. We got to serve God's plan over my own. Because God's purpose is a purpose of unity. We can't be in unity when we're always pointing. We can't be in unity when we're always judging. We can't be in unity when we're always hating. We're always looking at what someone else is not doing, what someone else is not participating in. We got to be what we need to do so God can get the glory in that. We have to serve his position rather than our position. And unity means sometimes we have to choose the best in others. We have to learn to accept people. But accepting people and agreeing with them are two different things. Can we agree with that? Accepting people and approving them are two different things. Because believe me, God doesn't approve of half the things I do. God doesn't approve of half the things that I say. God doesn't approve of half the places that I've gone. God doesn't approve of any of that, but he says, you're still my son. You're still my treasure. I still love you. I'm still with you. There is nothing that you can ever do that'll keep me from you. The same love that my father showed me is the same love I am to show others. We don't have to approve what they do. Hear that? We still can accept them. Because God at work is better than Jovan at work or any of us. Unity brings glory to God. That's our aim, is to bring glory to the Father. That's our plan and our vision, is to glorify him. Because nothing brings God more glory than people from different races, from different ages, from different places. Nothing brings more glory to him. Unity matters. And the way we understand unity is by telling people that they matter and that they're cared for. Because people are more open to God when you are more open to them. But let's get to the root of this whole issue. The root of the issue is that heart that is hard to others. Because look what Paul ended in verse 7. He says this. He says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Christ has welcomed you. That's the measure. That's the standard. Love is saying, I don't approve of everything that you do. But love is saying, I accept you despite of what you do. The same grace that God showed me, it's the same grace we are to show others. That's the measure today, church. But it starts with our heart. A lot of us have a heart issue. And that heart issue is getting in the way of relationships. The relationships that you have currently right now. The relationships that you're going to have potentially in the future. So we've got to ask God to be the doctor right now. To be the surgeon and to open up. And to examine what is off. If there is any judgment that is in me, God, get it out of me right now. Because I want to be effective for you so you can get the glory today. Because God, you accepted me. You accepted me. You brought me in when I was so far out. I can't tell you how many times I've turned my back on God. But every time I turned around, he was still looking at me. I can't tell you how many times God's back was to me. My back was to God, I'm sorry. But then God said, I'm still here for you. It's a miracle that a holy God accepts me. It's a miracle that a holy God can accept me. So today when I pray, I want to pray for that space in your heart that's full of hate, anger, and judging. And I want to pray that God would help release that today. That God would help give that up. That God would say, hey, this is what's going on. You need to let this go right now. Because I want to be an effective person. But effective people can't be judging people. The same grace that he showed me is the same grace I'm going to show others. Think about it, church. Some of us are stuck up and some of us are caught up. Some of us are broken. And God says, I still want you. How awesome is that? How encouraging is that? A God in heaven who reigns says, I still want you. So how come we can't do the same thing for others? Others with different lifestyle and others with different choices. God said, I accepted you. Therefore, you accept them. But it starts from what goes on in here. Let's pray. God, I know the issue is me. I know the issue is me. Nothing changes until I do. And I know my heart is full of hate. And I judge. I point out. I do these things because I'm insecure. I do these things because I don't know better. But God, I know you know all things. And I'm asking that you would come in right now. God, I pray that my brothers and my sisters sitting in this room, those who are skeptic, those who are close, whoever they are, wherever they're at in their faith, that they would say, God, I open my life to you. I open my life to you right now. And I ask that you would be at work right now. I ask that you would remove whatever you need to remove so that you can get the glory. So at the end of the day, people will be drawn to you first. God, we want to be a church that uplifts you, that brings glory to your name. So I pray right now that you would open my eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes right now. Get it out of me. I need you, Lord. In Jesus' name is who we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.